It's Deron Carter, and you're now listening to the Piffles Podcast. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Here we go, indeed. Piffles Podcast, episode 93 here for you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And Amy is kind of in and out tonight, but make sure you give her a follow on Twitter, at RealAmyD. You can follow us at PifflesPod, myself at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
You can follow me at Greg on Sports.
Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going up there every single day. Of course, Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. And it's brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out the great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday from 2 to 5 p.m. And don't miss out on the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. And Greg, you weren't here last week to talk about the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. Steve still hasn't had one.
Oh, I've had one.
And oh, it's so good.
Five more days.
No, you can have it any time.
Any time.
I refuse.
It's practically fall out there right now anyway.
This is not a hill to die on, Steve. It's a bloody blizzard.
I have chosen to die on this hill. I will die on it year after year.
The irony of dying on a hill and blizzard isn't lost on me there. Coming up on this week's show, we have the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Feshton of Royal LePage Regina Realty. We're going to break down the Riders' loss to Ottawa, 30-25 just this past weekend, dropping the Riders to 7-5 on the season. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. Our Tallgrass Apparel engaging with the enemy, and this is the one interview that we've been waiting for almost two full seasons, and we finally got it, so it's coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. Our Cypress Hills destination area Piffles player profile. It's episode 93. Let's talk to number 93 here on the Riders. Mikhail Brooks, you're going to hear from him in just a bit. And, of course, we'll have our Week 15 game picks. Let's kick things off. Time for the opening kickoff. So the Riders losing 30-25. That was something, that game. It started off with a bang. Marcus Thigpen returning the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And, Steve, you said there was a stat that was only the seventh time that's ever been done?
The seventh time in CFL history, or since 1936, that the opening kickoff has been returned for a touchdown, and two of them are Marcus Thigpen.
And then another one is by a Rider as well, Corey Holmes, in 2005, the season opening game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So that's kind of crazy.
Was that the McDonald's game?
That was the McDonald's game. Beauty. Yep. They delayed that game by half an hour because it was raining so much.
Because it was raining so much, yeah, because it was
lightning. Yeah,
I remember that game.
So this game here, Marcus Thigpen returns the opening kickoff. Things are going great. We're up 7-0, 10 seconds into the game, and we're well on our way. And then the offense and the defense hit the field, and that was pretty much it for the Riders, wasn't it?
You know what I thought to myself the moment Marcus Thigpen ran that touchdown back? I thought it was lights out for the Ottawa Red Blacks. Turns out I was a little wrong.
A little off. It was the blackout game.
Right? That's where I was going. That in my head, that's the... It was, nope, didn't happen.
Actually, it being the blackout game, those glowing thunder sticks they gave us was the perfect metaphor for it. I don't know about your guys's, but they started off good, but they died before we even got to the actual blackout. They wouldn't hold air.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the game itself. We had a graveyard of them sitting in front of us between the three of us that have season tickets.
You're a Patriots fan, though. You like deflated things, don't you?
It's for a grip and grip only. It was well within parameters. It was cold weather.
Offense was bad. Beyond bad. Claros had, what, a 36%, 33% completion percentage, whatever it was. Terrible. Shaq Evans couldn't catch a cold, except for the one big long pass that he caught. The running game wasn't there after it was in Winnipeg the week earlier. What's going on with this offense?
This is becoming a bit of a problem with Shaq Evans. This isn't the first time that he's had issues with dropped passes in a game. At what point do the Riders look to see who's next on the depth chart? Because when he plays well, he's great. But as soon as he gets that in his head, it's all downhill. And this game was a perfect example of it. I mean, the moment he dropped those first couple, anything that went his way, my mind immediately assumed it was getting dropped, that I was right more often than I was wrong.
And you could actually see it. Like, fortunately, we got that giant Max run in the end zone, and you could see it in the replays. The minute it hit his hands and dropped, he hung his head and walked to the sideline every time. Like, it was in his head. He needed to sit a few and get back into the game.
I'd like to say that it'd be a good idea to bench him right now, but who do you put in his place?
Well, that's exactly it. Right now...
Because he's... I mean, we're short Caleb Hawley, who's on the injured list and likely done for the year.
And that's it. There's... If you look at our receiver depth right now, there's... other than Rob Begg, if you want to consider him the veteran on the team right now, it's Roosevelt. He's the only actual on-field leader, veteran receiver we have. Like, Kyron Moore is awesome. Shaq Evans, if he's on his game, is good. And then Jordan Williams-Lambert. Like, three of our major offensive weapons are all rookies.
What upset me the most wasn't so much that he was dropping passes. It was that the plays kept going to him. And at what point do they look at that and say, okay, you know, I know he's open, but he's going to drop it. Look elsewhere.
But usually when a guy drops the ball, you want to give him the ball again right away to make up for it, because you know he's going to make that catch, right? You want to show that confidence in him. But his confidence is shook. I don't know how you can go back to him now.
Yeah, he was rattled. Like I said, he was visibly rattled.
And he had a tough week in practice, too. He was dropping passes in practice and running just off routes, and I guess it translated to the game.
But so, like you said, where do you go? Who's next?
I don't know what the answer to that is. Brian Jones, maybe he gets, because he's on the roster now as a special teams player, but do you put him in a little bit?
But even...
Does Bag go into the slot?
Like... Jordan Williams-Lambert had, what, two balls thrown to him the entire game? And I don't think the first one was until the second half.
And same with Naaman Roosevelt. He didn't see the ball until late in the game. It looked like the entire game plan was throw to Shaq Evans, which was great. He was open all game long.
But if I was Ottawa, I would let him be open all game long, too, the way he was playing.
Well, they left Naaman Roosevelt open for that nice long touchdown. That was nice of them to do that.
Well, it was wide open.
I couldn't believe how open he... The real credible threat on this offensive team. I don't know how you leave that guy wide open, but...
That obviously was a crosswire somewhere, because there's no way in hell. Like, he came off the line and no one was with him at all.
What's really terrifying is if you actually go back and look at this game, we were outplayed on two phases of that game. I mean, you take away special teams, and that was as close to a dominating game as you could ever ask for. And we were still a couple of yards away from potentially winning that game, because there was the pass from Caleros to Williams-Lambert that missed him by a step that would have put us in the lead.
Open.
And he was open, he was gone. And then the next drive for Ottawa turns into the 69-yard rush from William Powell. I mean, how were we still in that game?
But that's because of the special teams?
But that's typical Saskatchewan Rough Rider football. It doesn't matter how bad they're outplayed. They somehow always find a way to be within two scores near the end of the game, and they get you that one that you think they're, hey, we might pull this off, and usually they don't, but sometimes they do.
You know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, though, because if they ever do figure it out and put all three phases together, they're a very complete team, even on offense.
Oh, by far. They've
So it's nice that they can still grow to that, right?
But we all knew this was coming, though. Like, the defense has been absolute lights out, monsters of this league, and sometimes they're going to take a step back, and this was a game where they took a step back. Fortunately, our special teams took over. It's just our offense needs to figure it out. They are middle to lower third of this league at best right now.
Middle to lower third? They're number 8 or 9 at best. I mean, I wouldn't put any other offense behind ours the way they've been playing. We have 15 offensive touchdowns, and several of those have been defensively aided. I mean, one of them was a pick return to the 1 yard line. The touchdown to from offense to special teams and defense ratio right now is 15-12. That's a joke. This offense needs to do something.
I want to talk about play calling a little bit here. What did you guys think of the actual play calling itself? Because I thought there's a lot of blame to pass around in this game. Zach Claros was terrible. Shaq Evans, you could blame the O-line, you could blame all the other receivers, everybody on offense, you can blame them all. I don't point any blame this game to Stephen McAdoo. I thought the game plan itself was really good, but it just came down to execution. 3rd and 2, going deep on it, they seem to be like doing that this year, and it's worked every single time they've done it, and threw an interception on the next play because Stanford It was a great defensive play by, I think it was Antoine Pruneau, who had that interception. Stanford didn't come back hard enough for the ball, but you can point that more on Caleros than anything. But the play calling is there. I think the play calling's been pretty good.
The play calling's definitely been better, but I don't know. Just after that opening kickoff, it just didn't feel right. Like Mason, once again, had fumble hands early in the game. It just... That offense just couldn't find first gear, let alone second gear.
I'm actually with you, Alex. I really liked the play calling. I mean, you take away a few of those drops, you take away the yard from that bomb to Williams Lambert. There was enough plays there to win that football game. We just didn't do it.
Honestly, I thought the turning point was the interception at the 1 yard line.
Absolutely.
They went down and scored on that too. That was a 109-yard touchdown drive.
Yeah, if the Riders would have scored there, that would have totally changed momentum.
Well, and the offense would have felt like they could actually score.
Well, we all know offense played pretty bad. We could harp on the offense all the time here. Defense, I thought they didn't play a terrible game, but they definitely didn't play a good game. They gave up a lot of yards, didn't make stops when they had to. There's no pressure on Trevor Harris, and that was one of the keys that we had in the preview of the game. What do you guys make of the defense in this game?
You know what? Ottawa did exactly what you need to do to beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders on defense. They went max protect. They basically gave Trevor Harris as much time as they could and took what was there. They didn't try to go deep often. They didn't try to take things that weren't available. It was short routes, crosses over the middle, slants to the outside. It's just everything they did worked. The defense wasn't doing anything, and they weren't making tackles. And to be honest with you, Ed Gainey probably had his worst game I've seen, if not this year, or at least this year, if not his time as a Rider.
And yeah, they did a lot of quick stuff, but there's times there where Harris seemed like he had like five steamboats. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, he had all the time in the world. He was going through his reads, and he was finding the guys open. There was times where the DBs actually had really good coverage, and it just was a breakdown because he had so much time.
You beat the Riders' pass rush, and suddenly that defense isn't as formidable. No defensive back is covering a guy for 5, 6, 7 seconds. It's just not going to happen. You're going to find somebody open, and a guy like Trevor Harris is going to make that play every time if he has the ability and the time. So what do you do?
It was a letdown game from the defense and obviously from the offense as well too. But I think after the last, four games in their winning streak, the defense, so opportunistic, getting a ton of turnovers. They've been on the field so much with this offense not being able to move the ball that it looked at the end of the game, they got gassed. And you can't really fault them for that. And they'll point the fingers at themselves, and they do absolutely deserve some of the blame as well. But you can't sit here and harp on the defense too much. They've been lights out this entire season. Super opportunistic. Yeah, they give up a decent amount of yards, but it seems to be all between the 30s. And they're holding teams for the most part. So I think that's just a one-off on the defense. Going up against Toronto this week, I think that's a prime game for them to bounce back, hopefully for the offense as well too. Special teams, Kyron Moore had a punt return touchdown, and a lot of people are, especially out east in Ontario or in Ottawa, are pretty pissed about that one because of a missed block in the back, which actually started out in the front of the shoulder, but well, I'll let that one go by itself. But Kyron Moore
got the Piffles bump.
God, he's good. Like, I don't think he even got the Piffles bump on that one. He's just good. It's amazing for a guy that young to be this talented. I hope he's here for many, many years.
Oh, we got him, Christian Jones, Marcus Thigpen. And Thigpen, even though he's the old guy in the return game and everything, he still has those wheels because he still doesn't have all that much wear and tear on his body. I mean, I know what they do next year. You don't bring Marcus Thigpen back. You go with Kyron Moore and Christian Jones. But this is a good problem to have. If Christian Jones comes back after these 6 games that he's on the injured list for towards the end of the season, those three guys can absolutely change a game like that.
And all of them have so far. And yep. Moore's only been in the system for 3 games. But yeah, they've all been able to flip a game. Like, look at Jones in Toronto. Look at Thigpen against Ottawa. Like, having a player that can make plays like that and is elusive is better than a guy that can run down the field 50 yards.
Kyren Moore's first game was the Labor Day Classic. He's been in for three games.
He played in the BC game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that was his debut.
Oh, he didn't get any touches that game, right?
He got a couple.
Did he? He got jet sweep. That's the first time.
Jet sweep and one other pass, I think.
Yeah. Oh, right. He was on special teams for the first time on Labor Day. He didn't do returns in BC because Jones was still there. So he's had two games back as a returner, or three games back as a returner and two touchdowns already.
He's going after Christian Jones' stats right? or what?
Yeah. It's a great problem to have, and with the way that the offense is going, they need maybe you throw these guys out on offense a little bit more and get them quick plays too. I know Kyren Moore has been a little bit more of a deep threat for Zach Kolaros, but maybe you give him a little, you know, a couple small hitches and just see what he can do with some blocking.
They did that at the Labor Day. Actually, they hit him in a few short passes, and he broke a bunch of tackles. I think that big play that he had in Labor Day was just 4 or 5 yards out, and he just made a bunch of guys miss.
And they keep doing that the jet sweep to him too. They're trying to get him involved, and they absolutely need to somebody to spark this offense.
Player of the game? Do we have a consensus one here, Kyren Moore?
No, I'm going to go off the board. I know I've done this before with the Gatorade jug and the coaching. I want to actually give the player of the game to the fans. And I saw exactly why I love night games in Regina. That was a terrible football game to watch. I mean, there was very little for Rider fans to get excited about other than the two kick return touchdowns. But the fans were in that game all game long. It was loud. It was fun. I'm going player of the game as the fans.
I won't give him player of the game, but I definitely can't argue with how much the fans were in it. And especially the ones that stuck around after that last touchdown by Ottawa. And like, yeah, some filed out, but all of a sudden the Riders score another one. I'm like, oh, there's a bunch of people that are gone that are going to be really pissed if the Riders end up turning this around.
Never, ever leave a game early in the CFL.
No. Not Kyren Moore. Thigpen actually had himself a hell of a game too. So.
I've been ragging on him a little bit as well the last month or so, but Josh Bartel, I thought, had a really good game punting, especially when he was directionally kicking it, line drives low across the field and got some really good bounces. So I'd like to see more of that out of Josh Bartel, other than it was really high hangers that he leaves up there that get us penalties. But I thought he had a kind of a better game than he has the last little month. A grade for the game?
C-.
D-.
I'd give him an F.
Special teams is too good.
They got one out of three. Special teams is good. The other two phases weren't. That's an F to me.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it almost felt like it was going to be a trap game. Ottawa always plays good against the Riders, especially here at Mosaic Stadium for whatever reason. And coming off a four-game win streak, it was bound to happen sometime. There was bound to be a letdown. At least it happened here and not against, you know, Winnipeg or Edmonton or one of the Western teams that we're going to be fighting with for possession. So, yay.
You still got to win those East games, though.
I know. They'll bounce back against Toronto and Montreal here. I'm not too worried about that. A couple news and notes from the Riders here over the last couple of days. Obviously, since our last show, they've released defensive back Will Blackman, wide receiver Derek Keaton, and wide receiver Jordan Smallwood. And Jordan Smallwood, we hardly knew ye. He was a guy that just joined the team last week, and we said that on the show, and he's gone already.
Well, once a Rider, always a Rider.
That's right. And the big one, though, is a guy who may not ever see the CFL, but it's going to make a lot of noise on social media. The Riders apparently added wide receiver Josh Gordon to the neg list. Josh Gordon, of course, kind of a troubled NFLer here. In 2013 with the Cleveland Browns, wide receiver, had 1,650 yards in 14 games. Absolutely lit up the league, won me a couple fantasy leagues that year as well, too. Fantastic receiver, arguably one of the best in the game, but a lot of demons just can't stay clean, basically. So the Riders, he was on the Stamps neg list. Apparently they released him off there not too long ago, and Chris Jones swooped in and put him up on our neg list. And he's only 27 years old, so even if he fizzles out of the NFL, he just got traded to New England. Even if he fizzles out of there, he's still got another, you know, 6-7 years of pro career, and the guy's in fantastic shape.
What I find funny about this entire thing is, the minute he got suspended, Calgary put him on their neg list, expecting Cleveland to release him. Cleveland hung on to him for this entire time. Finally gets a chance to play last year, passes all the NFL stuff. He's being randomly drug tested. He's supposedly clean, supposedly sober, all that stuff. And then coming into this season, Cleveland decides they don't want to. He's going to play. Calgary quietly releases him off the NAG list, and now Cleveland is shipping him to New England, which Tom Brady needs a target, so I'm happy with this. And if he doesn't work in New England, New England will release him. There's a good shot he might be here.
I'm looking at this from two sides. The NFL fantasy guy in me who's held on to Josh Gordon since his suspension and is finally getting the chance to see him play and now play with an elite quarterback like Tom Brady, I hope he never comes up here. Because I've held on to that guy far too long in far too many money leagues to ever, you know, I got to get something out of it, right? But on the flip side, Josh Gordon, the CFL, would be amazing. This game is built for people like him. Like that speed, that talent, but not all there in the head with the demons and the whatnot. I hope he gets his, you know, I hope he gets his head on straight and he sticks it out and things work for him. But if they don't, oh man, I will be first in line to get a Josh Gordon jersey.
I love Josh Gordon. I really hope that he never sees the CFL because that means he gets his act together and he does have a successful NFL career. But I'll be right with you fighting for that spot in line to get the very first Josh Gordon jersey because I would love him on this team. My question, and this is about the New England Patriots here, and Greg, you can, does Josh Gordon wears 12? Does he just go in there and be like, hey, Tom, do I get the 12?
I think he's smarter than that. yeah, no, it's, I hope, I'm of two thoughts of this as well. As a Patriots fan and a guy who used to have him on fantasy, I don't have him anymore. I want him to do very well because that'd be a great redemption story because he was almost out of football for good. Like he was selling cars literally during his suspension. And if he can turn this around and make a living playing football again, whether it be for my New England Patriots or my Saskatchewan Rough Riders, hey, either way, I'm happy for the guy.
Well, be interesting to see if anything happens out of that. Who knows? Maybe we can get Josh Gordon and Terrell Owens up here in the CFL on the Riders. That would make me all sorts of happy. Opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian, Royal LePage. Moving on here, a couple news and notes in the CFL. New Era taking over the jersey designs and apparel in 2019. We kind of knew that. A source told us that that was going to happen a few months ago. So now that it's officially released, they're a big time hat maker. They basically own the rights to hats and in professional sports.
They own all of the big four major leagues, plus EPL, plus cricket, plus CFL. Like they do all of it.
Are we talking Mike Riley hats as well? Will they get something for him?
Oh, man.
Oh, poor Mike, yeah. Mike and his haberdasher.
We'll get new jerseys, new styled jerseys in 2020 from the sounds of it. 2019, it sounds like they're going to keep the same design, just put their logo instead of the Adidas logo that's there now. And then I'm excited for this because I want to see what kind of designs they come up with. This is their first time in apparel as opposed to just hats. So I'm curious to see what they do here. I hope it's nothing super like big changes. And as long as they don't bring back that Watermelon Blitz jersey, then they can kind of do whatever.
I think I touched on it a week or so when it first got announced on my slants. I could see them basically keeping the similar looks going right now. The only team that really needs an upgrade is Montreal. They haven't changed in almost 20 years. But yeah, I'd see tweaks here and there, and I wouldn't be surprised if everyone gets an alternate just to kind of, for New Era to spread their wings.
I like the path that they're taking because, like you said, this is their first time in the apparel business. They're taking the year to make sure that their designs are good, that they're what people are going to want. But I'm really pumped to see what they bring out. I really want to. I mean, I love New Jerseys. New Jersey Day is one of my favorite days just because there's, you know, I'm not going to get anybody on it unless it's Josh Gordon. But, I mean, I want to see what they come up with. I want to see what styles we get, and I'm looking forward to it. I really don't want to wait a year and a half.
Yeah, it'll give me an excuse to start to throw up, do some designs.
There you go. Yeah, and tag New Era in them all the time.
Exactly.
I want to talk about hair pulling. We're probably the last people right now that should talk about hair looking at us. But in the Calgary-Hamilton game, it was Ryan, blanking on the dude's name, the Hamilton Ticats returner for that game, ended up getting his dreads pulled, and got pulled down by the dreads, and fans were going crazy. That should be a penalty kind of thing, because you thought it was a horse collar from kind of, you know, the angle you were at, but you saw it was by the hair. And by definition, the hair is a part of the body, and you can grab any part of the body to try and tackle. So this has been a big debate the last, 4 or 5 days since that game. Should hair pulling be allowed in the CFL?
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
See, I'm on the same page as you guys here, too. It's part of the body. If you don't like it, don't either A, cut your hair, B, tuck it in to your jersey, to your helmet, whatever. But you're taking that risk yourself.
I could see also some defensive players could see it as an advantage for receivers. If their hair is blocking the back of the jersey, how am I supposed to grab it? Like it's like a face mask. You accidentally grab a face mask, it's automatic penalty. Same thing could be said if you change that to hair too, because all of a sudden a guy's got dreads to pass his shoulder blades and you go to tackle him, you accidentally grab his hair. Well, there's 15 yards and we're marching down the field. So no, if you're going to grow your hair out, either tuck it in or expect it to get yanked.
And I've seen a lot of people argue that it's no less dangerous than the pull by the horse collar, but you said it, that's part of the jersey. That's part of the mandated equipment that players have no choice. You have to wear a jersey, pads, helmet, all that good stuff. It's your choice whether or not to have long hair. Why would it be any different? Why would a special rule be created for you? I mean, where do you draw the line then?
I've seen people comment and say that they should force players to have like army cuts, basically buzz cuts.
The Johnny Unitas, yeah. Haircut.
Honestly, yeah, I've seen comments saying force them to cut their hair. If you want to be in the CFL, cut your hair. I'm like, what is this? The 1970s again? Or like, maybe probably earlier than that. But
they
like,
probably hated Joe Namath too.
But like, you can't force somebody to do that. Yeah, I know some jobs have standards and everything in place where you have to have a certain look and whatever. But come on, this is pro sports. You don't get hired because of a haircut. You don't get cut because of a haircut.
They already mandate the height of the socks the guys can put on, what brands they can have on their feet, what colors their gloves are, towels, everything. Let the dudes have their hair. I'm sure Brad Sinopoli, if he could, would gladly grow his hair to his ass.
Trust us, you're not going to have your hair very long, so grow it out while you can. So, all right, we're all in agreement there. Let the guys keep their long hair. And finally, Johnny Manziel back to starting in Montreal. Does he deserve it?
No.
I miss Johnny Clipboard.
No. And you could almost cue the rap music for this because that pisses me off.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You know, I get the idea that a guy that was traded, that two first-round picks and all the players along with it to bring a guy like that here. But the moment Antonio Pipkin went in and started winning the team football games, he earned the right to get a start. And he's gotten those starts. And I understand he had a terrible game in BC on Friday night. Had Johnny Football not said anything the week before, I would have no issues with him starting. My issue with all of this is he's basically being rewarded for being a petulant child and complaining and bitching and moaning to get his spot. And they just go, oh, yeah, you know what? Sure, here you go. It's like they were waiting for that first loss. You don't reward a guy for laughing at his teammate after throwing an interception. You don't reward a guy for whining and complaining about sitting on the bench while his team is winning. Up until that moment, Johnny Football has said and done all the right things, but he messed up last week and they're rewarding him for it. I could go on, but it's garbage.
I don't know. I think Johnny Manziel proved the power of podcast. But no, you're right. You're right to a certain aspect. I don't think they're rewarding him because he's acting like Johnny Football. Let's face it. They trade for Johnny Football. Leppard's not going to change his spots. He's going to be who he is. And last couple weeks has shown he's still Johnny Football, Manziel, whatever. But they were waiting for Pipkin, the magic to fade, so they could put him back in. You're right. That you do not give up that much for him. Just have him sit on the bench and probably not come next year if Pipkin's... Because what are you going to do? You give up basically your entire future for this guy. And if Pipkin's going to be the man, if you let him ride it out and he finds his magic again, well, you waste that for nothing because Manziel's just going to pull a Trent Richardson and stay home.
Montreal was waiting for Antonio Pipkin to have a poor game. That's all they were waiting for. And they're looking at this very short-sighted. And they're going with, let's sell the name Manziel. Let's get as much as we possibly can out of that name now. because that won't be there next year or the year after. So they're grabbing that now, and they're not looking towards the future. And that's the problem with this team right now.
But they're also gambling that Pipkin's not going to go anywhere because they got him under contract. So where's he going to go? But they also got Manziel under contract. Where's he going to go?
I can guarantee you this is something that Antonio Pipkin's going to remember a year from now when his contract comes up.
No, probably.
That's the kind of thing that sticks with you, where you handed a team more wins in 2 weeks than they've had in the last year and a half. You have one off game, and suddenly you're being benched for the guy who complained to get his spot back. I mean, what do you do with when the sixth DB sits there and starts complaining he's not starting anymore?
I think Pipkin knew the writing was on the wall when he got asked the question if he was the quarterback, and goes, "No, I'm a quarterback." He knew the score going into it. He basically knew I have to play perfect lights out football or else I'm back riding the bench. And I think anyone in their situation, unless they're fooling themselves, knew exactly what they're getting themselves into.
Oh, 100%. You knew as soon as that game ended that Johnny Manziel was going to be the starter next week. There was no question there.
No, Sherman didn't know.
Sherman doesn't know a lot of things. He doesn't know how to take a mic off at the end of a football game. But it doesn't make it the right move, and it doesn't make it the right optics. I would almost bench him just for his comments. Sit him down another game and say, maybe next time be a better teammate. Because you know the guys in the locker room don't ignore things like that. They can't.
They knew what they got when they traded for him, and now they're living with it.
Yep.
And they're going to sell some jerseys. They're going to sell some tickets.
Going to lose some football games.
And probably, but Kavis be Kavis.
Interesting to see what happens over in Montreal. If Manziel has another poor game, do they go back to Pipkin? Well, I guess time will tell on that. Moving on here, we need to get to our Cypress Hills destination area Piffles player profile. I really want to know. Tell me who are you. So seeing as this is episode 93 of the Piffles podcast, we figured it was only appropriate to talk to number 93, defensive tackle Mikhail Brooks. Here's my conversation with him from practice earlier.
So I've heard Mikhail, I've heard Michael Brooks.
Yeah.
Straight from you, how do you pronounce your first
name? It's Mikhail.
It is Mikhail.
And yeah, it's spelled MIC_HAEL. Most people don't put the apostrophe, so end up looking like Michael. So.
Do you ever get triggered by people calling you Michael?
You know what, I used to, but ever since I was like second, third grade, it's been getting mistaken, so I just got used to it now.
All right, now you've become a big part of this team, especially stopping the run. What do you attribute that to?
Man, I just try to find my place on the team, man. This is a great defense, a lot of good players. I just try to find my place, man, and Coach Jones said that he wanted me to emphasize stopping the run, so that's what I've been focusing on.
You find your job is a lot easier with guys like Charleston Hughes, Willie Jefferson on the end, and exactly. Zach right beside you.
Exactly, man. It's a whole lot easier. You know, we complement each other really well because none of us play alike, but we all know how to work with each other, so it works out pretty good.
Now, you joined the team a little bit midway through the season here. You didn't get the full benefit of, you know, being with them through training camp and everything. How's been the bonding going since you've been here?
Great, man. The D-line room is a great group of guys, man. Charleston is the funniest old guy. So, you know, me and Zach are roommates, so we're real tight. And Willie, I've been knowing Willie for about 7-8 years since college. So, you know, everything's going great.
So Zach's your roommate. What does he do that just annoys you?
You know what, Zach talks about my snoring, but he snores. So when we go on away trips and I'm like, he's like, hey, I got to get my earplugs because you're snoring. I'm like, dude, you snoring too. So that's kind of one thing that I don't like. But
you guys are like an old married couple.
Exactly. Exactly. And they have it quick.
Who's the biggest prankster on the team?
Charleston, without a doubt. Charleston Hughes. I tell him all the time he's way too old to act this silly. He's way too old. But hey, look at him now, bro, if you want to pick around. Just look at him. Look, doing an interview all the time.
What's a normal day in the life of Mikhail Brooks?
During the season, it's pretty boring. You know, I wake up, come to practice, do my thing, and then afterwards, there's a lot of video games, and I like to be outside, so I go for a lot of walks and just sitting outside. And it was cool until it started getting cold in Regina, so that's what I do.
This is nothing yet.
I heard.
Wait for, you know, another month or so here.
And you know what's funny?
October?
Yeah, I heard, bro. And the funny thing is, I never had to play in cold in Camden. I was in BC, and we was always in a dome, so I never had to play in it. So it's going to be a shock.
Well, at least we didn't get snow like Calgary.
Like Calgary, I've seen it, yeah.
What motivates you on the field?
Just the competition of it all, man. I love competition. I love D-line playing, just beating the guy in front of you, and that's what it comes down to. So the competition and the winning just what motivates me.
What is it about the game of football itself that keeps you in it, that you love so much?
Like I said, it's got to be the competition part, man. Just every year, just to come in and you just to prove, you know, your dominance against somebody else or against a couple teams. So every year you get to come in and it's like a refresher every single year. So that's why I like it and it keeps me going.
So you get a time machine. You can go back anywhere in time.
Yeah.
What event do you go see first?
Anywhere?
Anywhere.
Oh, wow. Oh, you caught me off guard. But it would have to be, I'm either going to ancient Rome, or I'm going to see the dinosaurs. It's one of those.
I like that one. Yeah, that was your favorite dinosaur.
I can't think of the name right now, but it's the one. It's like the one with the long beak that flies.
The pterodactyl.
The pterodactyl. Yeah, that's my favorite. Either that or a raptor, because I kind of like those two.
So you're a big fan of the Jurassic Park dress.
Yeah. That was cool as shit. Yeah. I like the raptors. Yeah. Not so much a pterodactyl guy. Not so much.
Well, it's the small arms, right? Yeah. he's limited.
Yeah,
right?
He's short.
If you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Man, so if you asked me about 5 months ago, I would have had something different. But I quit eating pork and beef. So it would have to be some sort of chicken something. Not really sure. Let's try barbecue chicken pizza. Let's try that.
Oh, nice. Good choice.
Let's try that.
Do you have any special hidden talents?
Hidden? No. I think I'm pretty good at everything. I kind of try, so nothing's really hidden. And I tell everybody about it, too. So
jack of all trades, master of none?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What is one thing Rider fans should know about Mikhail Brooks?
I'm coming to play every week. And, you know, since I've been here, we've been doing a pretty good job on the run stopping. So I'm coming to play every week, and we shouldn't have to worry about that no more.
All right, now I got a couple lightning round questions for you. Just answer really quick. Action or comedy?
Action.
Sweet or salty snacks?
Ooh, I don't know. Pass on that one. That's tough.
All of them?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Your favorite cereal?
Oh, Frosted Flakes. Yeah.
Do you put sugar on it too?
No.
I used to do that as a kid.
No, my dad does that, and I thought it was weird, but no, I don't. Yeah.
Guilty pleasure? Music.
Old school, like R&B, like...
Tony Braxton.
Nah, we talking older. Marvin Gaye Al Green. That, I grew up on that type of stuff with my dad, so that's what I like.
All right, and your favorite kind of cookie?
Oh, a white chocolate macadamia nut. I think I said that right, yeah.
Nice. And final one for you. Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Ooh, that's easy. I've never met so many cat people since I came to Canada. Canada loves cats. They love them. Everywhere I go is cats. I can't stand them. They're so creepy, bro. Like, you know, they don't make noise. They just
sneak around.
Yeah, they just pop up. And they got retractable claws, and that's freaky. Like, no. Dogs.
All right, Mikhail, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You, man.
Mikhail Brooks here on the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile, and he's been a good player for the Riders ever since he's come here, and he hasn't been here the full season, but he's been lights out at the defensive tackle position, and I look forward to seeing what he does for the rest of the year.
Time for this week's fan contest winner. This week, Curtis Fafford of Broadview, Saskatchewan, joins to share his Rider pride. Curtis, first question I have for you, how long have you been a fan of the Riders?
Well, growing up in the Wheat Province, the Riders, like everyone, they've been part of my life for as long as I can remember. But 03 or 04 was probably the beginning of the Rider craze for me.
And what got you into cheering into the team in those years?
Well, there really wasn't a choice. you have to cheer for green if you live in Saskatchewan.
what is your first Saskatchewan Rough Riders memory?
My first memory probably isn't actually a Rider memory. It would be the 91 baseball game that the Jays played at Taylor Field. I just remember thinking how weird it was that we're watching the Jays play where the Riders played.
I've only seen pictures of that. I wasn't there, but that looked like it was a pretty cool experience.
It was neat. I've never seen a shorter left field.
Do you go to games often?
Yes, we actually have we have season tickets. We got them in 2013, so my wife and my two boys go. We go to every game.
And do you have any game day rituals at all?
I don't, but my youngest has started one this year. He won't go to a game without having a big bucket of popcorn for supper now.
That's kind of like a movie, right? You have to. It's just a rule, right?
That's exactly it.
Who's your favorite Rider player currently at the moment?
Oh, it'd have to be Ganey or Big. Uh-huh. Ganey, after the year he had last year, was just fantastic. And Big, I mean, it's hard not to love him.
And what about all time? Who's your favorite all time rider?
Dressler. Definitely have to be Dressler. The man has no quit in him.
Now, besides seeing Grey Cup wins, what is your favorite rider moment of all time?
Oh, that would have been when Chris Mila was kicker, actually. My oldest son had a, he just loves him, still does, but he had his Milo jersey on, and Chris saw him in, during warm-ups, and at halftime, Milo actually came out with the ball and called Wyatt down from the stands and gave it to him, and we eventually got it signed, but that was pretty cool. That was neat.
That's awesome. I can't imagine many people have Chris Milo jerseys around, so that's pretty cool.
That, they were all bugging him about that at the fan day. Milo, look at you, actually do have a fan.
And Curtis, last one for you here. Most importantly, what does rider pride mean to you?
Rider pride, it's it doesn't seem to matter what your color is, your creed, political beliefs, anything that separates us in our day-to-day life. It's once you put on the green, it's everyone's the same. We're one big family. We're all cheering for the same thing, and it's a really neat thing. It's hard to explain the feeling you get. It's just something you have to go to a game and be part of the bring 'em out, and it'll be clear to you.
Well, Curtis, thank you so much for entering in the contest, and congratulations on winning, and thanks so much for sharing your rider pride with everybody.
Perfect. No, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget, you can enter in at pifflespodcast.com for your chance to share your rider pride with the world. And of course, we tweeted it out. Go to at pifflespod. You'll see the latest addition to the grand prize. And it's a piece of one of the benches from Taylor Field from the farewell season, and a piece of turf from the old Taylor Field as well, and a nice frame box set. So
hallowed ground.
Oh, I want that for myself. Am I allowed to enter this contest? Cause that's super cool.
I already did. So I think so.
Didn't we draw my name?
No.
Oh crap.
Get in on that. Rider store gift card, a brand new rider jersey, and a whole bunch of other stuff going in there as well. Stuff from Mr. Mike's, and a whole bunch of great stuff. So make sure you go to pifflespodcast.com and click the little drop-down menu, get to the fan contest, and just fill out the survey, share your rider pride, and you could be one of our weekly winners. And even if you're not, everybody that enters into the contest is going to be put into a drum at the end of the regular season, and we're going to draw a winner live, and that's going to be our grand prize winner. So get to that at pifflespodcast.com, and don't forget to check out riderfans.com in their weekly Why Not contest as well. Riderfans.com for that.
Does Chris Jones go back to his diversity of shirt?
Yes, 100%.
His strength shirt?
Oh, to go back to the green shirt?
Yep.
Oh, no. He's going back to black.
Think so?
Oh, 100%.
I think he sticks with green.
He was mandated by the players that he has to wear green as long as they win. They lost. He's going back to black. I guarantee it.
Honestly, if the play calling was worse, I would have accused him of throwing the game just to go back to his black shirt. But the play calling was good, so this was.
He probably didn't wash that in a month, so I mean, it was probably getting pretty funky. So
yeah, so the players were obviously, okay, coach, you can take that off now.
Literally been wearing it nonstop for 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, Chris Jones will be back in black. All right, now time for the part of the episode I've been looking forward to for 2 years now, ever since he signed with the Riders back in 2017. Let's get to this week's Tallgrass Apparel Engaging with the Enemy. We have former Riders, now Toronto Argonaut, wide receiver, defensive back, Daron Carter on the phone. Daron, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us tonight.
Thank you.
Now, first, we are all Rider fans here. When you signed in Saskatchewan, what made you sign here to begin with when you were a free agent in 2017?
I remember being in Montreal and coming to play in Regina. And it was a very close game, and I had returned a field goal late in the game, and I just remember all the fans just booing me, and I just loved it, and I was just like, man, I could really play for a place like this. And so when I had the opportunity to, you know, play for Saskatchewan, I really just wanted to jumped on it.
And did you enjoy your time here in Saskatchewan? And if so, what was your favorite part about being here?
I definitely enjoyed my time in Regina. My favorite part was definitely, you know, being able to be myself around the fans and, you know, engage with everybody in Regina. You know, it was a very fun time. You know, we were winning. It almost made it to a Grey Cup, you know, where we're about to play away. And, you know, it was a lot of memories.
Now, take us back to that day that everyone found out you were released. The news broke on Twitter. It was especially crazy. What was it like for you that day?
It was very crazy. You know, I was out to eat with my girlfriend in Montreal. I was scheduled to come back to Regina the next day. And I had that phone call with Coach Jones. And, you know, I got at the beginning of my meal. I didn't really finish my meal. You know, I didn't really feel like eating. And, you know, about 30 minutes later, I got a few calls from a few GMs, and that whole free agency process started pretty fast.
You were a free agent for a little bit. What did you do during that time?
For real, just take time off of football, you know, just relax, save my body. I went fishing with my uncle, you know, and just took time to see what, you know, how the season was going. I got to see how three weeks were going and what team I wanted to, you know, to help out.
So what was the deciding factor with you signing with the Argos? I know you had a relationship with Jim Popp and SJ Green before in Montreal. Did they have a lot to do with it as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being comfortable is, you know, very high on my list of going for a team. And, you know, with the remainder, it was about 9 weeks left in the season. You know, I wanted to be in a spot where I know I'd be comfortable and, you know, that team that could use me. I know that Jim Popp, you know, I had that relationship with him in Montreal, and SJ Green, you know, I always looked up to him as a mentor figure, you know, since my rookie year and everything. So it kind of was a no-brainer for me.
Now, when you were a free agent, was your phone busy? Were there other offers, other teams kind of gauging interest and that kind of thing, and it was just Toronto was the one you went with?
There definitely thought about, you know, going to other teams. I didn't, you know, take it lightly. I just felt like, you know, with the remainder of the season in a short time, going somewhere where, you know, the team knew me, or in a sense, the people there knew me, and, you know, and I could thrive.
Now, with the change to Toronto, there's also been another change that has many CFL fans scratching their heads. No more Twitter account. Why is that?
I kind of gained all the fame or notoriety, however you want to call it, through Twitter, you know, that I can get. So I just kind of, you know, got off of it. I was really just on there just messing with people, and it was fun for the time being. But I still have my Instagram, you know, I like the pictures and posting pictures and everything.
And obviously, with your father being Chris Carter, you had a football background growing up. What was it like having a Hall of Fame player being your father, and what was the pressure like?
It really wasn't any pressure. You know, I would say it's just like, you know, having a dad. He was always my coach in Little League. He was my receiver coach in high school. You know, I ended up going to Ohio State, where he had already, you know, been working receivers there before I went there. So, you know, he always had a kind of close tie in what I was doing, and, you know, sort of helped me develop as a receiver. And, you know, I think that's, you know, helped me sort of with my football knowledge. You know, having him as a dad, I kind of have an insight that nobody really else has.
Now, when you were young, did you ever get to go see him play when he was with the Eagles, Vikings, or I believe with the Dolphins as well?
Yes, I went to every home game except Monday nights because I had to go to school the next day, but every home game for the Vikings, you know, I was there in a Chris Carter jersey.
Did you ever get the chance to catch a football from, say, any Hall of Famer? Who was the biggest name you ever caught a pass from, just for fun?
Oh, man. I mean, my dad has made plenty of Pro Bowls. You know, we always used to make, like, a family trip to Hawaii. It was always fun whenever he made the Pro Bowl. And, you know, I used to always play with everybody's kids. Reggie White was one of my dad's really close friends. We grew up with his kids, you know. And, man, Randy Moss, like I call him Uncle Randy. You know, he grew up, his house was right down the street from where we lived. You know, I used to go over there and play video games all the time. And it's just a whole bunch of things that, you know, I really took for granted growing up, but you look back, you'd be like, man, I had a blessed childhood.
So hang around all those greats, is that what made you want to play professionally?
No, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, growing up, I was always pretty good at sports. You know, I just always knew I wanted to play football. Any sport I picked up, you know, I kind of was good at. And football was actually the last sport I played. I played hockey and soccer were my first two sports when I was growing up in Minnesota. And I loved hockey and soccer. I still love watching hockey and soccer. But when I moved to Florida, you know, football became, you know, the favorite sport. That's the state sport down there. And that's what I kind of focused on.
Got to admit, hockey kind of surprised me there. Who was your favorite player growing up?
Oh, man, I got to go with PK, man. PK Subban is definitely my favorite player because my uncle actually kind of mentored him when he was in Toronto. My uncle used to coach the Raptors. And, you know, growing up, he you know, sort of mentored a few young men, and one of them just happened to be PK Subban. So I definitely have to go with him.
So you played hockey. What position did you play?
Oh, I was a center. To tell you the truth, my last play in hockey was a face-off, and my stick got jammed up all the way in my stomach, and I had to leave the game, and I was crying, and my mom said that's my last play, and I quit.
And football was a better option, getting hit by all these big guys?
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to play quarterback growing up. So I used to be able to run away from it. So it was pretty easy. And when I got to high school, they switched me to receiver my first game as a freshman. And that's how I became a receiver and getting hit.
So we know that you played defensive back a little bit here in Saskatchewan as well as receiver. Did you ever go to Coach Jones and say, hey, put me in at quarterback too?
I was always messing around with them in practice and everything, and I actually was the emergency quarterback when Caleros had got hurt, and there was a time Bridge had got hurt as well, and we didn't have a quarterback. I was going to go in as emergency quarterback, me or Marco Brulet.
You interact with fans nonstop in the community, taking fans to a movie in Toronto and just being generally open with them. Why is that so important to you?
Because I don't think people really understand genuine contact with athletes. You know, everybody can give, you know, cliche answers and be, you know, the good guy when it's pretty much, it's easy to be a cliche athlete. You know, you can say all the right things and everything, but when you show, you know, genuine love and genuine attraction to people and really listen, you know, what people got going on, I think it just creates, you know, a better bond, and, you know, they root for you, you know, even harder in the game, and that's what I build off of.
Daron Carter here on the Piffles podcast. Now, Daron, the Daron Carter movie is being made. Who plays Daron Carter in the movie, and what's that movie about?
Oh, who plays Daron Carter? I would say, I think I would have to play myself, man. I would play myself, and it wouldn't be a football movie. It would be a hip hop movie. Football in the transition into hip hop movie, and I would be a rapper. I think I would have fun with that.
So it'd be a lot like 8 Mile then?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like a rise to fame, you know, because nobody thinks athletes can rap. I don't think athletes can rap either, to tell you the truth. But I think it would be a good story.
One of your former teammates, Derek Dennis, actually rapped for us on the show. And if I had a beat, I'd play one for you here. Who's a better rapper, you or Derek Dennis?
No, I'm definitely better than Dennis. I think I could put my money on me in that rap battle.
So if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
One superpower. What would it be and why? My superpower would few good ones, but I think mine would definitely be mind control. You know, just making people do whatever I say. That'd be my top superpower. You can't beat that, right?
Outside football, what inspires Daron Carter?
Man, I'll tell you, pretty much my family. I got a dog, I got a girlfriend, I got three turtles that I love and take care of in the off season, and man, I just wanting to be great. You know, I want to go down as one of the, you know, best players, you know, in the league right now, and eventually, hopefully all time. And that's what I strive for. You know, every time they show it to me, you know, I want to show how good I am.
So we've seen snippets of you on your Instagram, but in your own words, who is Daron Carter?
Ah, man, in my own words, I would say, I'm really a nerd trapped in a football player's body. Outside of football, you know, all I do is play video games, and I'm on a computer or just reading some type of obscure conspiracy or just something that you wouldn't really expect. So I would definitely say I'm a nerd outside of football. I'm a nerd trapped in a football player's body.
Okay, so you find a 1985 DeLorean and you can time travel. Where's the first place that you go, and what do you do there?
First place I go is the future. I want to go 200 years into the future, and hopefully it's better than what it is now. Just to see, you know, I think the first thing I would do is just see if there's flying cars. I would want to fly a car. That'd be my first option.
If you could speak to any one person, dead or alive, who would it be, and what would you talk about?
One person, dead or alive. You got to go dead because you can speak to somebody alive. I would have to say, oh, man, that is a good one. I haven't thought of Martin Luther King. Yes, Martin Luther King. And I would just have to ask him how to be a better person. I think of all people, you know, just how did he become the man that he was, you know, through all the turmoil and everything. I think that would help me the most out of everybody.
So take us through the average day for Daron Carter. When you're not working out, doing film, practicing, anything like that, what keeps you busy?
Man, to tell you the truth, Xbox One. I play a lot of Xbox One. I'm like, very, very good at video games for some strange reason, and that's what keeps me busy. You know, I play all the video games. Any game that comes out, I'm gonna get it, and I'm playing it. I play with a lot of Ryder fans as well, actually. Still,
do you ever play FIFA with Chad Johnson?
Yes, I have played FIFA with Chad Johnson. Chad is beating me like 5-3 in the series right now.
Where is Daron Carter's happy place?
Definitely, I think in my living room with my dog, just sitting there watching TV, chilling with my dog. I love my dog. I'm not even a dog person, but I love my dog. It's pretty crazy.
What kind of dog do you have, and what's its name?
It's she. Her name is Sasha, and she's a pit bull.
I love dogs. Every dog is my favorite dog. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
Oh, man, to tell you the truth, I am watching on HBO, they have a show, an animated show called Animals, and it's like pretty much a guy talk as voices as animals, and they live these lives. It's pretty crazy. The guy's name is Phil and Mike, and they're the producers of the show, and you'd have to check it out. It's pretty funny. That's why I like it.
Life, money isn't real, universal, commercial. You've used these as captions in your Instagram posts. What do these mean to you?
Oh, man. They're just little things that, you know, that pop in my head that you know, the kind of I live by in a funny sense. You know, just life is, I feel like you can capture every picture you ever take could be captured as life, you know, because that's your life and there's nothing else you need to say. You know, it's just life. And money isn't real. You can take it however you want to take it. I can tell you in a general sense, I always tell people that, you know, 90% of money is on computers. You know, only 10% of money is you could actually grab it and have. So money isn't really real. And Universal Commercial is my new chapter in Toronto right now and trying to show everybody what I can do.
Now, when you signed in Saskatchewan, the first thing we did, we talked to Cliffy D from the Alouettes flight deck, who told us that we would love you here, and he was absolutely right. But a lot of people outside of Montreal and Saskatchewan don't like you yet. Is Daron Carter just misunderstood?
No, I don't even think that I'm trying to be understood by people that don't care for it. I mean, the people that do care for it, you know, they show me enough love as it is. And you know, I appreciate it so much, for real. Like, to tell you the truth, I just hope that people open their mind instead of, you know, they see one thing or they hear one thing and they just create something that's in some, you know, obscure idea, and that's not me before they meet me.
Okay, now we're going to play the lightning round. We're going to hit these hard and fast. What's your favorite cereal?
Captain Crunch.
Do you like comedy or action movies?
Action.
Who's your favorite cartoon character?
Ooh, Bart Simpson.
Favorite vacation destination?
Bahamas.
Loudest trash-talking DB in the CFL?
Ooh. Man, I'll still have to go with Dwight Anderson.
Your favorite chocolate bar?
Snickers.
Your all-time favorite animal?
Ooh. I'll have to go cheetah.
Cookies or cake?
Cookies.
Sweet or salty?
All right, and just one last one here for you. The Riders, you're playing the Riders for the first time here since obviously going to the Argos. Are you taking this game more personally against the Riders? Is there any extra motivation to this one for you?
No, it's just more fun. You know, you get to play against, you know, players that you never thought you'd be playing against. In a sense, you know, I can't wait, you know, to go out there and show them what I can do. You know, they know more than anybody what I can do. They see me more than anybody. So it'll be a good matchup.
Is there any one of the defensive backs specifically that you're looking up to going against?
I can't wait to welcome Nick Marshall into the league.
Well, you did take a spot when he got injured, so that should be a pretty good battle. Does he like to chirp on the field too?
I don't even know. I wasn't out there on defense when he was out there. But I'm not a big chirper. You know, people chirp at me and then I respond and we retaliate with just a lot better chirp. And then it's just, you know, they take it very personal. But I like to smile and have fun.
Is there a particular player moment with your time in Saskatchewan that stands out to you above all others, like on the field?
It has to be that catch I made against Toronto at home. I think it sort of really put my season together, you know. Before that, I really wasn't getting the ball that much. And after that catch, you know, sort of my season started to take off. So I think that moment was pivotal.
Well, Daron, thank you so much for your time and joining us here on the Piffles Podcast. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's Daron Carter. Everybody loves Daron Carter, right? Even if you're not Riders or an Argos or an Alice fan?
No, right? So many people don't.
I don't get it. I love Daron Carter.
You know what? Before he came here, I was probably one of them.
I loved Daron Carter in Montreal. I love that he was brash and cocky and everything. I loved him.
I know so many people that they're actually mainly Bomber fans, because first I got some of my family and I work with a few. They can't stand Daron Carter. They're like, before the Riders cut him, they're like, oh, the problem with your team is Daron Carter.
It's because they don't like fun things.
Exactly. Like, why do they hate fun?
Although the team has been performing better with him not here anymore. But still, Daron Carter, absolute pleasure to have here on the Piffles Podcast, on the Tallgrass Apparel, engaging with the enemy. Now, he's on the Argos. We might as well talk about the Argos game coming up here. Let's do our game preview really quick. It is Daron Carter's first game against the Riders since being cut. He knows what the defense is doing. The defense knows what Daron Carter is all about. This is going to be a good matchup. And like he said, he's looking forward to matching up against Nick Marshall.
Oh, I'm really excited to see the guy who took Nick Marshall's spot versus Nick Marshall. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
That's definitely going to be, let's face it, the cameras are going to be on Carter all night. They're probably going to have a dedicated camera on him all night.
So it's just like any other regular season game.
Exactly.
Is this a live mic game? For the love of God, please, please, please put a mic on Daron Carter and one on Nick Marshall. Because if you notice, Nick Marshall is in a lot of scrums after the play. Dude has some energy. I want to see those two go back and forth.
I knew it was.
Yeah, this is a mic'd up game.
Screw the quarterbacks. Nick Marshall, Daron Carter, let him go.
All game long, that's all you want to hear?
That's it. Nothing else.
But apparently he doesn't chirp. He just chirps back.
And chirps better.
Apparently.
I believe the second part. I don't believe that first part for a second.
Can the Riders offense get going again here against one of the bottom teams in the league?
Yes. No.
Flip a coin?
Yeah, this offense is not good at the best of times, and I don't know what they've got. It's weird. They don't put up a ton of yards. Even when they look like they're playing really well, they don't put up a lot of numbers.
They haven't put up 400 yards in a game this season.
The only other team to do that is Montreal.
Yep.
They didn't hit 180 yards for that money giveaway until 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
And I love the Bronx cheer that followed. That was great.
Congratulations, the Riders have hit 180 yards.
I still remember at the start of the year when they had, and I've said this a couple times, they had that promotion, and I sat with the guys beside me, and I'm like, really? 185 yards? You're just dying to give away money in the first half. They've barely made it some games. This offense is just not good, but they have to get going eventually. They have enough talent. They have to.
I had a laugh last year. They had that Cal Tire giveaway. If the Riders ever hit 30 points, you get $100 off. This year, they downgraded to they upped it to 35 points, and they downgraded to $50, and they haven't hit it yet.
No, they hit it
one game.
Yeah, sorry, they did. But, yeah, it's just this offense just can't click.
And that one game, they gave away a bunch of expired ones.
Oh, yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah, they gave away a bunch of 100 ones. It was Labor Day.
Yeah, no, it was the Calgary game.
Oh, the Calgary game. That's what it was, yeah.
That's terrible.
But that's the offense in a nutshell. Even when we win, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, defense was lights out against the Argos in the very first game of the season and was a big part of the reason why the Riders won that game.
It was the reason why they won that game.
Nick Marshall getting a pick six in his first game, sealing the game. Charleston Hughes had three sacks in the first half of that game, and that was against Ricky Ray. So it'll be interesting to see how this team does against McLeod Bethel Thompson.
I'm pretty sure our defense is going to come back a little hungrier than they did against Ottawa, and it's going to be a long day. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a steady feed of James Wilder.
That's the key to the game for me, is they have to stop Wilder, because after what Powell did to the Riders' defense, the Argos are just going to be pounding the ball with Wilder all game long.
I feel a lot more comfortable going into this game with Mikhail Brooks in the lineup. I know he was there last week. I really didn't feel like William Powell did all that much last game until his 70-yard run. I mean, he still only had, 80 yards on top of that?
He was consistent.
Yeah.
It was their quarterback protection that helped Ottawa a lot, too. But, yeah, he was pounding the ball really well. But, yes, it was that big one that he broke.
Yeah. He was getting 4, 5, 6 yards every. I mean, if you can ask a guy to get you 6 yards a carry, that's a good game. But I feel like he wasn't that game breaker that we've seen from William Powell in the past. We saw what Mikhail Brooks did the week before against Andrew Harris. I'm not afraid of James Wilder Jr., but he's the key to stopping that offense. You stop him, this game's not close.
Well, let's get an Argos perspective on the game here. Let's bring in Clay with the Argos Fancast to preview this game from the Argos side of things. Clay, thanks for taking our call.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Riders going in off a loss, getting badly outplayed by Ottawa in their last game. Toronto coming off a bye week. How do you see this game matching up?
Considering I have no idea what the Argos are going to put out there, whether or not they're actually going to use Daron Carter or not, this could be a very, very strange game. The Riders coming off a loss are scary, especially the way they've been playing. But then again, you look at their offense, and the offense hasn't been playing well. But the defense loves to take the ball away, and that may be a problem for a very inexperienced quarterback.
So you mentioned this Daron Carter kid. We may know a little bit about him here in Saskatchewan. What are you expecting from him, not just this week, but going forward? Do you think he's going to pan out in the Argos offense?
You know what? I don't even know if any receiver right now is going to pan out in the Argos offense. They seem to be very... very happy with the vanilla, and if it goes over 20 yards, they really don't want to have anything to do with it. That being said, they did try Daron Carter once over 20 yards. And, well, our quarterback right now doesn't have very accurate deep balls as of late. So, you know what? I'll take anything we can get right now. And Daron Carter is probably the, you know, most talented receiver that is playing on the Argos right now. He's not the best, but he's probably the most talented. And right now we're 3-8. We'll pretty much take anything we can get. We don't have the option to not try it.
Do you think they'll put him on defensive back at all, like he played here in Saskatchewan?
No, I highly doubt that at all. I think his defensive back days are done. Mark Trestman really does not like to try the out of the ordinary with players. So I just don't think that you're going to see him anywhere but receiver.
Now, Ottawa basically gave Toronto a solid game plan, putting Powell out there as much as they could. Do you see Toronto running the ball down the Riders' throats?
I hope so. From the Argo standpoint, I really hope they do. But even when they've had that blueprint in front of them, they haven't really tried it. And unless James Wilder breaks one off early, they're not going to keep going back to him. They just have this love affair with throwing the hitch passes and the 5-yard outs and the, you know, 7-yard ins, and they just seem to believe that that's going to work every single time.
Are you describing the Argos offense or the Riders offense?
Well, you know what? After watching both teams, you could probably interchange them. I mean, the difference being that the Argos D is bends a little bit more than the Riders D does.
Now, prediction time, Clay. How does this game shake out?
Let's put it this way: I think the defenses are going to score more than the offenses in this game.
We're Rider fans. We're pretty used to that right now.
Well, you know, in Argo land, we just, you know, hope that there is any score. But I just don't see the Argos coming out on top of this one. I would, you know, the Argo side of me would love to see them figure out a way to beat the Riders. I just don't think that they have the creativity that they're going to need to beat the Riders defense.
Clay with the Argos Fancast joining us here on the Piffles Podcast. Clay, thanks for joining us for a quick little preview of this game here. And I know you're going to be doing a big preview of this game up on your show as well, right?
Absolutely.
And where can people listen to that?
Well, they can find us on Twitter. We've got it at Argos Fancast. And they can search anywhere they can find podcasts, specifically SoundCloud, Google Play, and iTunes. Just search Argos Fancast. And, of course, the cfpodnetwork.ca.
Perfect. Clay, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
There's Clay with the Argos Fancast here. And, I mean, this is going to be a, I don't want to say it's a must-win game, but the Riders have to win this if they want to get second place in the CFL West and host a playoff game this year. So they're going to have to win it.
You got to clear those East games.
Let's get to our CFL picks for Week 15 here. Montreal at Winnipeg, Edmonton at Ottawa, Saskatchewan at Toronto, and Hamilton at BC. Montreal and Winnipeug.
I'm going to go Montreal.
Finally gets a win.
I know, hey? I talked a lot of crap about Johnny Football in my rant. Winnipeg just looks bad right now. And I love to see them continue to fall. It makes me happy.
I don't see Nichols going past the first quarter. Streveler for the win.
God, I hate Chris Streveler.
Winnipeg will win that. They're at home against Montreal. They'll win that one. Edmonton at Ottawa.
I'm going Ottawa.
I'm not betting against Riley. It's better for us if Ottawa wins, but I'm not going against Riley.
I think Ottawa pulls it off. Riders at Toronto.
Riders.
Riders.
Got to be the Riders. And Hamilton at BC.
Hamilton by double digits.
Those long games out in BC suck. I'm going to get killed for this one. I like BC.
The better team will win, and the better team is Hamilton. I'm going with Hamilton.
A big part of me would love to see BC win that game for the same reason I want to see Montreal win. Because I'd love to see Ottawa or Winnipeg falling farther and farther down the standings after they're boasting about having the most complete team in the league.
Yeah, remember when they were planning the parade route and they were winning the Grey Cup because, you know, yeah, Calgary's the best team, but we're the most complete team? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? That's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here on your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can find me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
And I am at RealAmyD.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. And of course, go to the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going up there. And of course, the full Daron Carter interview, PifflesPodcast.com. So make sure you go to the website and check that out. And while you're there, check out the Piffles Podcast fan contest. Use the little drop-down menu there and enter in. Share your rider pride with us. Be entered in to win some great prizes. And of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Feshton of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. We're going to leave you with some Beauty Killed the Beast, one of our featured artists of 2018. This is Hometown.